do the book title thing again. The book that we had the whole riff that I didn't record about book titles.
Yeah, it was probably our best cold open ever, and
it was about. Well, let's try and reenact it for the listeners. It was you had a book title that you said should be my book, or I said it should be my book.
Yeah,
whose book was it?
I think it was your book. You made the claim that you're good at book titles,
right? And you said the awesome just happens.
Yeah, something about that. And then
that should be the name of the book title.
Yeah, you said that was a good book title.
But I don't want to write the book. I just want to have the title.
And I said your book title should be you're good at writing book titles.
That's a good title for a book. But what's the cover photo going to be?
You
me on a typewriter?
Yeah.
I would buy that. I would walk past that at the airport and go, "Hey, that's my book." Hello and welcome to episode 434 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam Vantown, the Five, British Columbia.
The Five,
yeah.
Are we're gonna make it a little bit French or something? The Cinq, the Cinq.
No, I like the Five.
No, the Fünf. What about the Fünf?
No,
das Fünf. Herzlich willkommen zu das Fünf. That was German for exactly what you think it was.
I took that time to have a sip of coffee.
I'm also enjoying coffee. This should be called Two Guys Having Coffee.
Oh, that's the title of your next book.
Not bad. Not bad. Two guys, two hosers, coffee. We should actually... I'm cutting that part out because I don't want anyone to copyright that title.
Okay.
Amazon, if you need to buy books, man, that's the original Amazon is just selling books. Click through our site, help us out.
Sure.
Made some purchases that you're gonna see soon.
Okay.
On the Amazon, they are I was gonna say props, but they're not props, they're costume for future game day magazine covers for our baseball team.
Okay.
Got some big things in store. One of them, mildly amusing. One of them, potentially epic.
Okay.
In my mind.
Do you get an Elvis Presley costume?
That would be mildly amusing, and then no, that's not it.
Okay, that doesn't count as epic.
I'm of the opinion, and this one, I think the plan is to shoot it tomorrow, which means I'll talk about it on the show next week. If we shoot it tomorrow, and if in fact we do, because we have our home openers next Saturday, so I will have to shoot the game day cover before then.
Gotcha.
So no matter what the cover is, it will be discussed, but I'm hoping it's going to be the one. There's a couple little variables involved, but stay tuned for next week, and you'll see the Amazon purchase too.
I have a computer-related query for you, and maybe you can explain to me how computers work.
It's a lot of ones and zeros.
Okay, so, but just include our listeners in this conversation, because I think it was interesting on our topic last week, we were talking about new computers, and you know, I got the new computer, doesn't make a difference, all that kind of jazz. Did you notice how quickly the Dropbox file uploaded?
It was uploaded before we were done recording.
It was literally like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. It should not be a situation that, like, your Ethernet on your old computer should have been faster than your upload speed anyways. So right. That would not have been the choke point. So the fact that you probably have a faster Ethernet shouldn't affect that. But
and the same thing with when I just put a photo in Dropbox. Is it something to do with the SSD read write speed? Like
no. It shouldn't be. Like,
I was trying to wrap my head around it because if I put a photo in there, it's like a second. It's uploaded and ready. Like I don't know why that would be different. And I was trying to figure that out. And like, what a humongous difference. But is that just how slow the processing time is on my computer to read the information I'm sending? Because it shouldn't have anything to do with the Ethernet.
Well, especially the photo, because a photo that you would put in there would be, depending on how large, I mean, it's probably under 5 meg and probably under a meg. And so even your 10-year-old computer would really not have a problem with that. Usually the choke point is the internet provider, the ISP, who chokes off the upload speed, which I know they ramped yours up.
Mm-hmm. But they did that a long time ago. So
fact that it's faster now, I honestly don't know why.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. I was thinking about that too, because remembering back in the day, like early on in the show, I have relatively speedy download speeds, or did, especially then. It's probably the same now. 8 years later, it's probably the same. It's not crazy fast because of where I live, but it was fast compared to you. Boy, that's a long way to go. Back then, you probably had like a 6 meg download, and we had a 25. Now you probably have like, 18 gigabyte download, and we still have 25. So it's, we're frozen.
Okay. I have no clue.
Yeah, so for me, once you had uploaded your audio file, because I think we've talked about this before on the show, you record your voice in Vancouver, I record my voice in Tübingen, and then we mesh them together. We being me.
Yeah.
I mesh them together so that we don't have to record over the internet. We record locally and hence a much better signal. Here's the trick. If you want to do this at home, you can go ahead and record your voice in an MP3 file, and it's much faster to ship over the internet, except you wind up with sync issues. In fact, I don't know if we never have had sync drift issues with just you and I, because we record full res AIFF. But I know in the past I've done other podcasts with other people and they've recorded in MP3 and complained that there's sync issues.
Mm.
So point being, the files are rather large. And so Adam's going to record a file. It's going to be, if we talk for an hour, you're looking at probably, it could be 600 megs.
Mm-hmm.
Depending, could be 300 depending on the file, but call it 300 to 600 megs, and so that's a relatively large file, and it used to take like a couple of hours for you to upload that.
Yeah, and then it sped up to maybe 30 minutes, but it went from 30 minutes to 30 seconds with the new computer.
Well, no, but it got to about
I'd say 10 to 15, maybe 10 to 12 minutes. Would you say?
Yeah, usually depends on your end, but it usually shows up on my end. Yeah, about 10 minutes after we're done.
Yeah.
And so, but that's a game changer, because the way we used to record, we'd record, then I'd have to sit and wait for 2, maybe 3 hours sometimes, and then basically, mix the show in the morning, and so that kind of slowed the whole workflow down. Now it's almost instantaneous.
Yeah, it was weird, because I didn't expect that. I had no clue, and I put it in the box. I went, and I took a pee, and I walked back, and it was done, I couldn't understand it. Like, I was trying to wrap my brain around whether it was actually in there or not.
Yep.
Because it just didn't make sense to me. So I was trying to figure out if there was a specific reason for that. But
I mean, there must be. It must be something. I mean, it's kind of a big coincidence otherwise.
Listeners, let us know what that is, if anybody knows why that would be.
Well, I'm sure your Ethernet port is the GigaLink, or whatever you call it. Giga something. But again, your internet speed isn't, your upload isn't that fast. Like, that's more for intercomputer networking where you'll notice those speeds. And so in theory, it should be the same, but it's too big of a coincidence. So something's changed.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Super clear explanation.
Yeah. Went off in the weeds there. Okay, besides that, what's going on?
Weather got nice here, sunshine, so that's good. I'm gonna get outside and shoot more photos, because we've got, it looks like, the better part of a week of sunshine.
Mm. Yeah, we went the other way. We had great weather, and then opening day for baseball was Saturday, yesterday. And, 2 days ago when you're hearing this, probably. But, so we had our biggest, we opened on the road, our longest road trip, which isn't too bad this year. It's 2.5 hour drive for a doubleheader. So we had the big Nightliner bus, we actually have the best bus in Germany, I would say, the best team bus. Most guys rent vans, but we happen to know a guy, long story short. It's got 12 bunk beds on it. It's got a lounge in the back with a big screen TV and whatnot. It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
We got that all booked out, ready to go, 7:30 leave time. I'm there at the park, about to jump on, have a couple hours sleep on the way, and bam, we get rained out. We get the phone call, no game today. So, which wait a whole nother week.
Your guys are most disappointed about the bus, though, right?
Like, the guys were. I mean, I've been on a number of times, but we have a couple new guys who've never ridden on the Nightliner before, and so it was kind of a big deal for them. Like, oh yeah, it's kind of cool. But as I explained to them, I said, like, it's like with flying. The only thing better than flying first class is not having to fly.
Right. Right.
Much more comfortable to just walk in the park.
Gotcha.
So that was my, they didn't care. They wanted to play cards on the Nightliner on the way home. That was right. The big deal. Probably have a couple beers on the way home and play some euchre. That was the plan.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then my wife's getting better, by the way. We talked about it a little bit last week.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the big health update.
But she's still not 100%.
Well, she's never been 100%. Okay. She married me.
That's right. All right. She's been hovering around 72.
Yeah. You can never trust someone who's married me. No. and the pool's open. That's the best news of all. The weather was so great last week. Like, it went from legitimately, I think we talked about on the show, it went from like 3 degrees and actually was there some snow to 3 days later the pool was open and 28 degrees. So did I explain this last time that I'd already been swimming? I have.
No, I don't think you had. I think you said it's open or opening. Okay. And that you had a lot of swimming in your near future. So
yes, and I did. I have been every single day.
Good update. Thank you.
Yeah, got that right. Dear Diary, Alan is finally back in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah, it's the end of April. I've already got a tan. It's not right. Something's not right. But we're back now. We had hail this morning, and we're back. All right. This is not interesting to anybody.
Okay. Okay. I gotcha.
Remember last week when, which is only a couple days ago, really, what was it, 3 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, Facebook is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I would go into detail.
Sure.
Buckle up.
Okay. Can't wait.
No, you're not a Facebook guy, right?
No, I think I said I've been.
I mean, you said you're not a social media guy at all.
But I said I've been free of it for months. It's dead to me.
You got to be over a couple years now, though.
What do you mean?
Specifically, Facebook.
Oh, I've had the account. I only officially deleted the account, whatever, 4 or 5 months ago.
Right. Okay.
But I really had slowed down on ever checking it for maybe the last couple of years.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe the people that I'm friends with on Facebook are not interesting enough for me. No, I'm going to blame it on them. No, I don't. I honestly don't know. I sort of lost its appeal to me.
Okay.
I initially it was cool because I mean I grew up on the eastern coast of Canada, and when it first came out, you know, I had moved from the east coast to the west coast, and after a couple of years of being on the west coast, Facebook kind of emerged on the scene, and I thought, oh great, this is a way I could sort of keep in touch or see pictures of what my friends are up to. And then mm-hmm. you know, after 10 years of that, it's like, okay, yeah, got it, I'm done.
Yeah, that was my initial thing was I was not into Facebook. I was like, what are you doing? Like, and so I refused. And I was kind of that guy at parties who would just, you know, I don't even have a TV. You know, that guy?
And, yeah, he's usually wearing sandals with socks.
Oh, yeah, no question. Well, over here, that's pretty much everybody.
Okay.
I was a little too vocal about it, but then eventually I was like, you know what, exactly what you were talking about. I've been over here long enough, and I did want to see what the marginal, you know, like the second tier friends were up to, because my top tier friends like yourself and whatnot, I knew I was in contact regularly, and I had an idea, but there was the second tier people the kind of people that you'd bump into at the mall. For example, and you would actually stop and say hello for a minute.
Right.
Versus the third tier friends where you would duck into Sam the Record Man and hope they didn't see you.
Yeah, gotcha.
Or Big Steel Man. You can go, it doesn't matter. Whichever one you want, Mariposa, you can duck in there if you want.
Okay.
Point being, so I did that for a while, but then we were posting the show and for a number of years we would post our episodes, links to our episodes on Facebook. And then I don't know, I guess it was a couple years ago, probably just under 2 years, probably. Something wasn't right. Like something just didn't, I couldn't put my finger on it. Something just didn't seem right to me about specifically Facebook, not the whole social media thing where the, hey, cause there's all that, there's good and bad. There's, you know, you get to see your friends and share some stuff. And of course then you get the idiots who are just trying to edit their life to make it look better than yours and stuff like that. And you know, grain of salt. Like I'm a big enough boy to understand that that's what that is. So I don't really care,
mm-hmm.
But then there was something happening and it was really weirding me out, and I found myself, I was becoming legitimately, I wouldn't say unhappy, because that's a weird, but dishappy. I was very dishappy with the experience of being on Facebook.
Okay.
And what it was, and to me, what it was is, I had had enough of the outrage culture, where everything is an outrage. And everybody is outraged about everything always, and I couldn't take it anymore.
Okay,
for a number of reasons. And I thought, you know, first of all, if you're outraged about almost anything, some things go ahead and be outraged about. You know, like some of the big ticket items that are happening in the news right now, you can be outraged about. But most stuff you can't. Just if you're outraged, it's because you're selfish. You're very self-centered. That you are outraged by this. Like, it doesn't affect you. Just move on with your life.
Right.
But that's not it. But so it wasn't necessarily the outrage. And so that was the part that made me kind of walk away. And then eventually we stopped posting the Two Hoser stuff on there. I just didn't want to be part of that dynamic. And then I listened to a podcast a couple of weeks ago by a guy named Sam Harris, who's a philosopher, you know, a real smart guy, does some talking.
Ed Harris's brother.
Ed Harris's brother, yeah, exactly. No relation.
Okay.
As far as I can tell. His brother actually was the spitball pitcher on Major League, though.
His brother?
No, his name was also Harris.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I thought you would have pulled that.
Oh, I blanked on that, and I love that movie. Yeah,
yeah.
The spitball pitcher, that's right. The old guy.
You put snot on the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah,
also, yeah, Harris. Also, he was in Hoosiers. He was the mm-hmm. the disgruntled guy that wanted to...
There's two kinds of crazy. There's the kind of crazy of, you know, guy barks at the moon, and there's the guy that does it in my living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah, that's a great...
Anyway, So this Sam Harris guy, very smart guy. I don't necessarily agree with everything he has to say, but I do love listening to him. He's very well reasoned. So he had on one of the early sort of CEO, not the CEO, but the early mentors for Facebook, who'd spent a couple of years with Facebook, and then he left, and then he wrote a book about the trouble with Facebook, whatever. So you can go find that. Go find that episode on your own when you're done listening to us, of course. And so he talks about it, and basically here's what ended up happening is they figured out that you know, on Facebook originally it was, hey, let's post pictures of kittens, cute kittens, and your grandma will like that,
mm-hmm.
and they move on, and obviously it's a complete waste of time, but you know, grandma would engage, she would engage with that and be happy, or you'd put your vacation photos on and people would see that and go, oh hey, yeah, good for Adam, they went to Mexico. The end. Like they engage for a split second.
Right.
And that was great. And then they quickly realized that the engagement duration over things that made you outraged was far longer than things that made you happy.
That's all news all the time, right?
Well, that is new. But that has blossomed into all news all the time. Like, if it bleeds, it leads. That's been going on forever.
Yeah.
Like, we understand that part. But on Facebook, it was one thing to sort of capitalize on that, but they took it a step further and they started basically creating this outrage machine that would not just manipulate like your news feed or whatever it was. They would pay attention to what you were outraged about, and they would feed you more outrage, and they would make sure that you would basically butt heads with people online, and they knew that that's like you've seen the stupid arguing that you should never get involved with, right?
Right.
Like on like the comments and the nonsense, but they would go out of their way to exploit that in order to keep you engaged online longer. So they're basically ramping up your misery with fake. Not, I don't want to say, it's not fake news, but it's sort of a fake outrage machine. They're ramping it up. They're getting everybody to argue and fight and sitting back and hammering checks. So so when I listened to all that, it basically confirmed everything that I thought was wrong with specifically Facebook.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I mean, maybe they have
it's good business in my view. I mean,
well, no, that's fine, but I don't want to be part of it. Like, yeah, they are. Yeah. They do well.
Yeah.
Like, they make, you know, a lot of money with no content. Like, that's kind of amazing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else supplies the content, and they convince everybody to fight and then just keep all the money. It would be like, yeah, like them initiating a fight between Holyfield and Tyson.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Except for Tyson, they don't get paid. Facebook, Don King keeps all the money.
Right, yeah.
So... But I could see this, and I could see the dishappiness going on online and making me very, very dishappy. And so that's why I walked away. And so it was kind of nice to see this sort of be vindicated by actual facts and not just what I was my gut feeling. It's not that I'm not a hypocrite, though, because I still use... It's hard to get away from Facebook products. Like other things that they own, like WhatsApp or Waze or stuff like that. Like I think Facebook owns Waze, or they own some stuff, right?
Yeah.
Or Instagram or whatever it is. They still own these things. So it's I'm not clean, but it's tough to do without being a complete troglodyte. No, not troglodyte. What's the other one?
I don't know.
Opposite of troglodyte.
Yeah, I don't know. I know non-troglodyte. Yeah. I'm with you, but I take it a step further in terms of my disinterest. Like, I was on Facebook for 10 years and I never looked at a real news feed. Like, I never looked at actual news. I scrolled through the people I was interested. I filtered everything else out, and I never saw that side of it. I don't know if I'm the only one that...
But see, for me, it was the news that people would share. Like,
yeah, but I never looked at it.
Shirley would share it. Yeah, I wouldn't look at it either.
Yeah.
But... I was still aware that it was there. I was still aware that there was this sick thing going on.
Okay. I guess I was more oblivious. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good to be naive.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's, do you ever see that? Do you ever see a guy walking down the street? Like he's just too stupid to know his life sucks. It's like, yeah, I envy that guy, man.
You're drawing a direct comparison to that guy and me.
Yeah. That's you. Yeah, that's okay. You. It's like, oh, awesome.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You got a life helmet and Velcro shoes, but you're happy.
Yeah. Why do you care? I'm really happy. I've had this conversation with a lot of people, but here's what I've pitched to people is that, yes, you're right. I mean, the news and whether it's Facebook or whether it's on TV, CNN, you know, Fox, pick your poison, but you know, it's very much all centered around doom and gloom sort of stories, you know, top to bottom.
Yeah.
There might be one happy feel good to 10, you know, the world is ending kind of scenario stories. And I think there's a real place, and you know, someone should go ahead and do this and take this idea, because I think it's a venture that would be very profitable, and just flip that around and make one station. We don't need 10, one station where the only news is reported on as positive, sort of happy feel good news. There's a lot of it out there. It gets filtered. I think it would sell, you know, just because it's a super contrast to the day and age we're living in where everything has to be negative all the time. I think it needs to be there. And I mean, I have no interest in turning on the news for my kids, like for my kids' sake.
No.
It sort of makes me cringe when we can get through 5 minutes of news before I have to switch the station because it's not appropriate for kids.
Mm-hmm. No, feel the same way. And it would just be nice if they would also just report the news. But what I have noticed in the last couple of years is the shift. It's been as long as I can remember, it has been negativity has been the lead story always. But I find that in the last couple of years, it's been directed at you. And so a lot of the headlines you'll see was, you won't believe what this guy did. You know, like, you won't believe. And so they're basically egging you on to be outraged. Like, oh my God, can you believe what this guy did?
Mm.
And that's where it goes. So anyway, so the Facebook guys, he wrote a book. He confirmed it, that they are indeed actively pursuing this in order to make money. They're making you sad to cash in on your money. So there you go. Enjoy it.
Okay.
So go ahead and quit Facebook is really, I mean, again, I use the WhatsApp and they're probably spying on me and they're probably listening to this and we're going to be shut down and whatever. And I don't know. Google's just as bad. I'm not naive. Like he actually talks about Google in the podcast as well. And some stuff that kind of blew my mind that I had never thought of that makes perfect sense. So anyway, have a listen. All right. The reminder, monthly photo challenge is outdoors. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers. And we'll talk about that on the show next week. That's next week's show. All right. That's on the Instagram, by the way, owned by Facebook. So go ahead and do that after my giant rant. We may be kicked off. Maybe kicked off of Instagram. I don't know.
Okay. I'll look forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did take my camera to baseball game the other night. I don't know how interesting it is. After, you know, you trash talked me about shooting baseball and, you know, could I do any better? I did take the camera out.
Wait, I trash talked you?
Yeah, because I was, I guess, being a little negative about your girl softball picture. So,
you're
like, oh yeah, yours are going to be Rembrandts anyways. So I did, right. I did take a few photos. Of course, they're of all other kids. So I don't yet have permission to post today. I'm going to take some tonight of my son's spring team, where I think people might have no issues with me posting a few. So we'll see. I'll get back to you. I did like the photos that I took the other night, just being it was the time of day. So they had an evening game and it went well into the evening. I think they didn't wrap up until, you know, 8:30 with a 6 o'clock start time. The game just went forever. Mm. And so we saw sunset, and it was a nice sunset setting in behind the field. And so I was standing behind the backstop and taking a few pictures of either the pitcher, like through the screen, like through the cage screen, but, you know, focusing through to the pitcher, where it just kind of almost frames it a little bit, like it actually looks pretty cool. And then I did some of our batters looking out towards the sunset at that time of day. Now, only problem being that you start to have issues as far as getting shutter speeds that you would need to stop the ball. So I think, again, other than that, you got to crank the ISO and then everything looks super grainy. So the time of day and the setting was great, but unless I was shooting a photo of just before anything happens, like the batter setting up in the box, it tends to be hard to kind of get everything that you want. The colors and everything were awesome just because of, really, really pretty sunset. And anyway, so that was interesting, but I can't share it right now.
Okay. Are you going to tell me which park it was at?
This was at Palmer.
Palmer. Oh, okay. I never played there.
Yeah. So it's a Pee-wee. It's Pee-wee Diamonds. It's out. It's kind of like, it's all just that sort of gravelly infield. So you hit the ball on the ground and it goes. Like, there's no slowing that ball down. So it's a different kind of game than when you play at the one we're playing at today, Gibbons, which has a grass infield.
There you go. That's what I was going to ask you about. Actually, when I played at Gibbons, it had an altered infield for some stupid reason, but they put grass back in many, many years ago.
Yeah, and it's got the red kind of dirt. It's a pretty looking diamond, although it does back onto some roads and some houses. So I'm gonna take some photos there today because we have an evening game there today. So I'm kind of excited about that. I told the coach I'm off the first or third base coaching duties today because I'm going to better use my skills for taking action shots.
Oh yeah, and that's a great looking park too. So even with the roads, although when I was a kid, that road was still there, Westminster Highway, but it was a dirt path at that time. Now it's a major highway.
Right.
All right. Good podcast. Okay.
Okay. Local geography.
Yeah. What's his name? Store isn't there anymore. Or the Max. Max is gone.
Max Milk. Yeah.
Yeah. They're out. As I was saying, the pool opened again, and so, but here's how it opened up about a week and a half early. Normally opens up May 1st as a holiday here. It's actually Labor Day in Europe is May 1st. And so that's it opened up early because of the weather, but they only opened up one of the pools, which isn't true. They opened up two pools. They only heated one of them. And so the big giant lap pool, which has the diving board in it, where I swim, that's heated up to like, I don't know, the first day it was like, I don't know, like 19 degrees or something like that. Now it's up to 22, which I never even paid attention to before. But point being, the kids' playing pool was at like 15 degrees, which is wicked cold. Or cold. I don't know. No one was in it. It was way too cold.
Okay.
So there's that. Point being, we took the kids down. My kids wanted to go to the pool anyway. And so we took their little neoprene shorties, and they went in the pool, the cold pool for a bit, and then did some jumping off the diving board. And so I just snapped a couple photos there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just posted those just to show you how hard it is to kind of get all the action and make it look good on a diving board. Like, these are fine, but, you know.
And you're on the pool deck here, right?
I'm on the pool deck here, yeah. Yeah, I'm just off the side. And I think this would have been better with a longer lens if I was back further and could have blurred the background, maybe.
Yeah.
This is my 40D with a 30 mil lens. Again, my semi-disposable camera.
And the wrong time of day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also not the greatest time of day. It's kind of washed out a little bit. But I just want to get a couple of action shots of them jumping off the diving board, which, you know, I do, but I don't know. There's just something is something lacking here. It's like this is it the very cluttered background? Is it, you know, again, bad light being lit from behind is no good?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I think it's a combination of those things. The background definitely doesn't help here.
No. So this was on day one. We went back a couple days later, and I just figured, hey, I'm going to throw my camera in the bag anyway. You never know what's going to happen. And nothing happened. So I did not take a single photo. So that was the interesting part. I took my camera and just said, you know what? Don't bother. Just not going to bother. Not going to get anything. Move on with your day, man.
Gotcha.
Oh, so there you go.
I do have one more interesting photography situation from this week.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an awards banquet for a friend of ours who's a coach, who's our hockey coach. He's also our baseball coach. And mm-hmm. he was nominated in the Richmond, whatever they call it, the Richmond Sports Council does awards. So you have to be nominated, and they give awards for athletes and all kinds of. So he was nominated for a builder's award. Like, he's just, I think I've talked about in the past, like how fortunate we are to have had this guy for hockey and now for baseball. He tremendous coach and best that I've seen in terms of my playing days and certainly my son's playing days. And so he was up for this award, and he asked a few of us who are all kind of become close friends if we would come to the banquet sort of to support him. And of course, you know, we all said yes. So we went, and I thought, oh, you know what, if he gets this award, like, he was a finalist for this award, and it's a pretty big deal. Like, it's all of Richmond and all sports and you know, someone who's kind of been building youth sports. So I said, you know, I didn't say, I just decided I'm going to throw my camera in the bag last minute, because if he gets the award, that's kind of a neat photo op that he'll like and look back on, right? So mm-hmm. I had the camera sort of under the table. I didn't say anything, and people are getting awards, and people are like, they had a high school, and they had a high school kid who was, you know, serving as their photographer, so taking a snapshot of everybody. And so, you know, I'm sitting kind of towards the front of the auditorium, perfect spot. I had the 85 mil on my camera, and just, you know, when the first few people went out, I just did a quick like light check, took a mm-hmm. snapshot for where I was sitting, and then I thought, you know, when if he gets the award, I'll have my cameras all ready, and I'll just hop up to the front. They said anybody who wants to come up and take a photo, because they, you know, they had family and friends and stuff jumping in with their phones to take their own snapshots. I thought, hey, I'm going to do this for him. As it turned out, he wins this builder's award, and like, you know, obviously there's no hesitation. Like, he's up there getting the award from the guy, and boom, I'm front and center standing there taking like four or five quick snapshots as he grabs the award. And worked out really well, and he really appreciated it. And all the people are sitting with were like, had no clue I was even ready to do that, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just something nice that I could do, because I knew how to do it and I was ready for it. And I didn't want to make it overly obvious, because if he didn't win the award, then that kind of would suck, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Also, he's a grown-up, though.
Yeah, he is a grown-up, but I mean, again, you're sitting there with a bunch of people you've invited to come, and it's kind of nice if you win the award.
It is nicer.
Yeah, it's nicer, so definitely. It was super cool, and yeah, so that was, and the photo looked really good, considering I used no flash. Right. It, again, just kind of like a regular auditorium looking place, not a ton of light, but there's the beauty of the 60 or any full frame newer camera where you can really, you know, ramp the ISO. I want to say I shot it about 2,500 in ISO, something in that range. And mm-hmm. like 1/100th of a second on an 85 that you can push to like 2.8. I mean, standing next to somebody and I'm not that far away. So I don't want to have one of them in focus and the other out, but with that mm-hmm. lens and that situation, I mean, it's awesome.
It's also where it pays to know your equipment so that you can be fast. And you hope he's not the first award of the night, because you can take a couple of test shots with a couple other mooks that you're never going to see again.
Which is exactly what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. You just go get those testing done, and then you're ready. And then when it happens, bam, 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 sit back down. That to me, that's what I find impresses most people the most is not just taking good photos, but doing it quickly and then getting out of the way. And they're like, wow, man, how'd you make it happen so fast?
Right. Yeah.
So it didn't. It took me 8 years to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll wait for you to post those.
I you know what? I'll ask him, and I'm pretty sure he'll have no problem with me putting that sure. photo up. Yeah.
All right. That brings us to the photo challenge. This week, based on on our talk last week about upgrading and getting stuff new, we said that the photo challenge, the subject was new.
Right.
Do you wish I hadn't now?
What said new?
Said new.
I was racking my brain for this one.
Yeah. So. This one hurt me. This one hurt my head. Because I thought it was going to be easy. I'm like, oh, yeah, man. There's tons of, there's nothing new. I don't have anything new.
Yeah.
So I got lucky. I mean, like, honestly, literally yesterday, a couple days ago, I had a client who was in for the white background shots, part of my ongoing headshots for one of my clients. Every time they get new employees, they get their headshots for the website, and they all look the same. They're all white backgrounds. So I had the white background set up. And a buddy of mine, the kid that we hired to come over from Canada to come play baseball, he just got in a couple of days ago, and so he was over for dinner yesterday, and he brought a couple of gifts for my kids from Canada, and I was like, oh, well, obviously I got to snap a photo, because it's probably his parents bought them for the kids.
Sure,
I better snap a photo and send it to them. And hey, I got the studio set up. Let's go downstairs. Bang, bam, boom. 30 seconds later, we got some nice white background photos. And that was it. Them in the new shirts. And so that is not my challenge photo.
Okay.
That was going to be. So I'm posting it anyway. There's the simple white background shot of my kids in their new shirts. But to me, the technique wasn't very new. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to just try a slightly different technique. Something I haven't done. Not exactly. I've done something similar, but you know, I'm gonna try a slightly different technique and take a different shot of my son today in his new shirt. And so the one shot of my son by himself, that is the challenge photo.
Gotcha.
Which is the better photo?
I think the one of the two kids together.
Far and away.
Yeah.
That stung a little bit, because I thought, oh man, this is gonna look cool. And, you know, it's fine, but what is not, like, what, again, I'm going to ask you again, what's missing here? What, this is not quite there. Why?
I don't like the wrinkles in the paper.
Yeah.
To me, it looked like you didn't quite know how to light it.
Oh, no, 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 no. I knew, this wasn't supposed, it was, yeah, no, no, no.
Okay,
that's not what it was. It doesn't look good.
Okay.
Definitely.
But I think if you removed him, like if you just cut him out of the background, right. He looks pretty good to me. Like I'm fine with the lighting on him.
That's a little bit
It's a little dark.
Dull.
Well, it's a little dark, like for his expression. It doesn't kind of match up. It seems more of a portrait lighting for an adult, maybe a little too dark on the right side of his face, that sort of dark light. But, you know, again, overall, I'm fine with all of it. Just it doesn't mesh well with the background.
No. And so what I had done is I left the white background up and I put a slash of light across it and it looked really cool. But then I lit him with a beauty dish camera right, and it ended up throwing too much light on the background and ruining that slash and kind of giving it a little too much texture on that white light.
Yeah.
And I also have two in behind, camera right and camera left, two like shaping lights coming in. That's what's on his left side and his right side of his hair. That's coming from in behind. And in this photo, they're not bright enough. They need to be a little bit more oomph to them. And I did shoot them again with a little more oomph, but then the look on his face, it was just too serious. It wasn't fun. This was at least a nice little fun smile that I liked better, but you're right. It does not suit this style of lighting. It's a little bit too high contrasty, a little bit too moody for what this is. I even went and took a blur tool and blurred the background out because it wasn't that blurry. It was actually far more sharp and worse than you're looking at now. And I decided to polish this turd and blurred it out a little bit, you know, which did make it better. But still, I'm not going to repeat this specific technique in this scenario.
Right.
So, but I did want to try the new, like, you know, in the spirit of new. I did want to give it the call to try this one. This one took me a lot longer to fail at, whereas the other one, literally, this was the first of two shots. I snapped exactly two photos because the lights were already set up, dialed in for the exact right exposure for a white background. And so just bam, snapped two just for safety. Didn't need to. Should have just snapped one, used it. And even though it's a way better photo, I just felt like I was, you know, being lazy.
Right. Gotcha.
But that should be the one.
Okay.
All right. So look at yours. What is new about yours?
There's
glasses.
There's a bunch of new things. New subject. Haven't had my dad as the subject for ages. He's wearing a New York Yankees hat. So that's new. This is a completely different lighting setup than I don't know that I've ever done this lighting setup before. And the crazy part about it is it's almost identical to what you described. So I have two lights, like those old DIY Pringles cans that I kind of shaped into strip lights. So for those who weren't listening in the early days, sort of take a Pringles can, cut out like, you know, a window that runs the length of the Pringles can, maybe let's say 8 inches by 3 inches. And then I put like a little sort of diffusing piece of
frost
material over it. You stick your flash in it and now you basically have, you know, an 8-inch strip light, which, you know, isn't good for a full body portrait, but it's good when you're just lighting a headshot with some light. So I have those kind of angled beside and just above. So they're kind of providing most of the light on the hat. So they're kind of like, let's call them the hat lighting, just, and they also help light the ear.
That's my favorite Neil Diamond song.
What's that?
Turn on your hat light.
Okay. I thought it was hat lighting, but sure. Then I've got a bare flash in behind that I have on super low power. I just wanted to make sure that there was a little bit of separation between what he's wearing, a dark sweatshirt, and then it's a dark background. And I knew that I was going to have this photo as black and white. So got a bare flash, just kind of getting down to his back. So it just catches kind of the back of the hood. And then I have, or it is probably his ear and a little bit in the back of his hat. But then I have the beauty dish as my key light. So the big beauty dish that I have in the studio strobe. And so you can see by the shadow on the nose, like it's just slightly off camera, just off center, just slight, maybe 6 inches to the left of right down the middle. And so that's what's the main light on his face. And so four lights, which is crazy for me, but the beauty dish plus two sort of side lights, and there you go. Ends up looking pretty evenly lit. And yeah, and
well, it's evenly lit, but with shape to it.
Yeah, and yeah. Anyways, haven't used the beauty dish on an older subject before, and so you know, an older subject, you are going to see more of the imperfections. But I kind of like that. That's kind of part of it for me.
Right, and your dad's probably cool with it. So
oh yeah, he's cool with it. So I really like the photo.
I mean, he'll put a filter on when he throws it up on Facebook.
But, or Instagram, yeah. Don't forget.
Yeah, or probably both. Well, he cross-posts. I know your dad.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a big cross-poster, automatic.
And then, you know, the other thing you got to be wary of when you're shooting people with glasses is the reflection in the glasses. So I probably took 10 photos, and I had 3 that didn't have some kind of little reflection in the glasses. And the other thing is my dad doesn't really, like, this is a massive smile for him in a photo. Like, you don't get this. Mm-hmm. But I was... You know, like when you're shooting your kids, I was trying to get him to laugh because I wanted something that looked not frozen. And so I was really happy with the fact that I got a big smile out of him for this. And people with beards, another thing too, like he's got, you know, obviously the bushy beard and the big eyebrows. Like I knew that would register better in black and white. And the beauty mm-hmm. dish gives you texture in that. So yeah, you see the whatever little skin flaws or wrinkles and older people under the eyes and that, but I'm fine with that because he's old. So but the hair, but the beauty dish really makes kind of hair stand out.
Right. So the beauty dish was on what?
On the studio strobe.
On the studio strobe. Funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
That's actually our topic this week.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Here we go.
So no, I want to hear. So, I want to hear your critiques. I'm
no, it's very good. It's nice even lighting with shape. That's the big thing, and being able to light under the hat is never. It's not an easy thing to do because you know it always casts a shadow if you don't have the light placed correctly. But no, there's nothing I would change about this. I was going to talk about the slash imperfections, but. Like you said, that's real life. I'm not a kind of I don't fret those things myself.
Yeah, and sometimes so. you want those. Like some of the most interesting photos I see are black and white photos of older people where they're almost ramping it up to show the imperfections.
Yeah.
And those are interesting as a result. I didn't do that. I didn't try to say, oh, okay, I'm going to really crank up, you know, the contrast and bring out, you know, the wrinkles and, you know, bring down the highlights. So, you know, you can right. see every possible line. I didn't really want to do that either, but I wanted to show, yeah, this is normal. This is natural. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't have any photos like this. So, I like it. So that's all of why it's new.
Okay.
Yeah.
And new glasses too.
Sure. Bring back those Pringles DIY side lights though, man. I like what those
can I'm going to have to add those to my repertoire.
It's simple cuz all you do is you put your flash in the can and then set it up on any light stand like you otherwise would.
Right, but I'm going to drop some knowledge on you that's going to surprise you.
Okay, let's hear it.
I have never purchased Pringles in my life.
Oh no.
Yeah. I've had them once. When I was a kid, I did try. I have tried them.
Does Germany have them?
Yeah, I think you can get them. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sure you can get them here.
Okay,
I've just never had them. They don't. I don't. Aren't okay.
In our listeners, there was a DIY episode ages ago, right? We did a DIY episode, maybe in the first 100, I think, probably in the first 75, even. And I think that's where I talked about making those. I think that that was made for the DIY episode. I think.
But I could use any cardboard tubes, like the stuff that posters come in or something.
Well,
like that.
I think as long as your flash fits in it. The nice thing about those Pringles cans is they basically fit nice and tight so that if you adjust the angle, it's not like the tube's going to fall off your flash.
Right.
So they're basically perfect for a standard. I mean, I have the Canon 430 EXs, but they're a pretty standard flash size. So that part is super nice. Nice, perfect fit.
All right, I'm gonna check. I'll hang around outside the store when people get their Pringles and all that. Like, when you're done with those,
yeah, I'll grab my address. Yeah, I'll grab that.
Drop it off.
Yeah.
Just drop it off at my house, and I'll take your picture. We'll call it a deal.
Sure.
That's what we'll do. All right. Topic this week comes of a question from one of our listeners that we said we're gonna start answering more questions, and we were gonna do like a question
mailbag
episode, but
mailbag.
Oh yeah, that's right. Didn't we have a cool name for mailbag?
No, I think it was mailbag.
It's just mailbag.
And I think you need to enlist one of our musically competent listeners to give us a little audio mailbag.
I think I'm just going to use that. Like you just did.
Okay.
I got it clean.
To music.
I got a clean cut of that. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe to music, yeah.
We'll see. I think the acapella was pretty good.
Okay.
So one of our listeners, Scott Borowy, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, it's a question, but it's a bunch of questions. And here goes. Have either of you gone beyond using flashes for your photography? If you have used strobes, in this case the studio strobe, was there a reason or a need that got you to that point? So I have not, full disclosure, I'm a strobe guy. I have a million of them. And by a million, I think I have nine. But I've kind of always wanted a studio strobe for a number of reasons. But Adam does have one. Why did you want one?
I wanted the extra power that it gives you and the ability to use much bigger light modifiers. So
he went on to ask, the rest of his question was, more power, faster recycling times, or a modeling light are a few reasons that would cross my mind.
Don't ever use the modeling light. I never use it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're that confident that you know how it's going
to
look?
Well, I'm just so used to all the strobe lighting where you don't have a modeling light that I just, mm-hmm. I don't bother. It's one more step the workflow is, start working one light at a time. I usually do the key light last, which is generally where I'm going to use the strobe because of the power that it offers you. So I don't generally use the modeling light. I use a one or two test shots to get it just right. I feel like it's probably faster for me than using the modeling light. Okay. Especially because I'm using it for that power.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much more power? I mean, I know you can't sort of quantify it.
It's a ridiculous amount of power.
Noticeable?
It's so much more power, yeah. So it allows you to almost always, I can't think of a scenario unless you were using it outside. I've used it outside a number of times. It's generally not how I use it because at one point I had one of those battery-powered, whatever they were called, like a power pack, so I could use it outside without a wire. And then I had that for, I don't know, a year or two, and I sold it because I used it twice. Like it just, I didn't need it. When I wanted a strobe on location, I would bring an extension cord and plug it in. As far as using it outside in the middle of the park, it just doesn't come up. Either natural light or I'm fine just, filling in some shadows with strobes. So if you're buying it for that reason, I'm guessing maybe you want to shoot guys doing tricks on skateboards or something like that. If you have a need to bring it in the middle of the day and need all that power, you're probably shooting different subjects than I'm shooting, I'm guessing.
Well, to shoot guys on skateboards, you keep that in mind, like with more power comes longer flash times though.
Right, true, but you can use that hypersync thing that, again, that I had never used that once. It wasn't something I needed, but yeah, I'm thinking if you're going to the skate park to shoot your buddies doing tricks and you wanted to be able to make it look like, it was evening. And I mean, there's a whole set of scenarios that probably is for a niche photographer. It just wasn't for me. But the extra light, and the ability to always shoot at an ISO of 100, whenever you've got that light, that's nice. That's handy. They have just more flexibility. But the big thing is if you're going to use big flash modifiers, then you're not going to be able to light them properly or use the capabilities of the modifiers. Like I have a big beauty dish, which good luck using that with a tiny strobe. Or I have a massive softbox, same thing. Not going to be able to use that with a regular strobe unless you have, I don't know, there's probably strobes out there that could do it and then you need adapters and blah, blah, blah. But for a big modifiers, I'd say is my biggest use. And the flexibility to shoot at whatever. I mean, I have like an Alien B strobe. You can pick those up used for, I'm going to say around probably about $250 now. So it's no more expensive than a flash, but it does require that either you have a plug somewhere to plug it in. So that's one right. limiting factor, or you got to drop another $300 on one of these portable battery packs so that you can use it on the go.
And the recycle times, what are we talking there?
Oh, they're the difference? Ridiculously fast. Like, again, so
instantaneous.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless you're shooting at full power, it might take, and I can't say that I've ever, it's too much power. Like full power, and I have an Alien B 800, sort of like a middle powered one. I don't know, offhand, I don't know what the power units are. You can certainly go up to more power, and there's one with less power. So it's kind of the one in the middle. I never shoot it on full power. Like there's just no way. Unless I was shooting it very far away from my subject, in which case I could probably get away with just using a strobe most of the time. It's usually I'm shooting at 1/16th power, something in that range.
Wow. Okay. So it's pretty much instantaneous recycling.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so the shot of my dad, again, I was using it with the beauty dish. So obviously the light is bouncing off something and reflecting around. I've got that on, I think the lowest power setting. I'm going to say maybe it's 1/32nd power on that. I don't know. I have it slid all the way to the low setting, and yet I've got my, flashes in those cans up close, and I'm shooting that at like between 1/4th and 1/8th power on an ISO of 100. So you can just see the, right. and those are super close to them. And the other one is back three times the distance. And it's the power is so, so low.
So he goes on to say, I have three Canon Speedlights with a remote trigger that serve everything I've ever needed to shoot well up to this point. But I want to get into using larger modifiers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You already addressed that, 36 inches and up. If that is the case, I could always use a multi-flash cold shoe and a larger umbrella to create a bigger light with the gear I have. Now, that's something that I have sort of done. I don't have a multi-flash cold shoe, which I actually kind of want for the portability part, but I have done that before. It was basically pump a couple of flashes on a couple of different stands into the same umbrella in order to just really jazz up the power.
Yeah, here's my response to that. Well, now you need five flashes because now you've only got one light source, right? For the cost of...
Yes, but I do have those, though.
No, you do, but he said he had three flashes. And now if you're going to juice up one modifier, now you're not doing portrait lighting unless everything is going to be considered a one-light portrait, which is fine if that's what you're trying to do. But for the example here, I used all three of my flashes that I use. I have more, too, but three that I really use. And then on top of that, I still used as the key light... the big modifier. So I would suggest if you're interested in shooting portraits, if you are going to go through the hassle to get a cold shoe that does three, then I'd say you're better off spending your money on a used strobe light. And I highly recommend the Alien Bees. The Paul Buff Alien Bees are great bang for your buck. You're not going to find a better, more reliable, cheaper studio light than the Paul Buff lights.
Yeah, if I was living in America, I would absolutely 100% have one, probably two of them. Very easy to come by. A little harder in Canada, but possible.
Yeah.
Like you bought yours used, but if you want to buy it new, like there's a, it's not the easiest. It's not just like an Amazon click through. It's kind of a pain, right?
Yeah.
And I believe in Europe, I think it's non-existent. So I don't know that they even, I mean, there's other brands, of course, that we have here, but very specifically, I do like what Paul C. Buff does, and I'd like to have a couple of Alien Bees, called Alien Bees, right?
Yeah, Alien Bees.
Yeah, because that's the triggers I have are the Alien Bees CyberSync by Alien Bees, which I got while I was in Canada, which again was kind of a pain, but couldn't even get them over here.
Yeah, for Americans, do that, buy them, you will not be disappointed.
That's where I would land as well. So. And last, do you have any favorite light modifiers, sizes? He wants small and portable to large enough for a stand. Any types, grids, snoots, umbrellas, or specific brands? Well, I think you've covered that, all the things that you have and the way you modify.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There you go, Scott. That should sort it out. And everybody else listening, I mean, I think that's, be like Adam. That's what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. No, I bought that Alien B, I don't know how many years ago now, like at least five. It might have been more than that. And I bought it used, and the guy said he had used it as his workhorse for on the go kind of studio lighting. I've used it a ton in the last whatever number of years, and still never replaced the flash tube. So thing just goes and goes. I'm not gentle with it. I do have a case for it. It is very durable, rugged piece of equipment. It does come with a cap. Throw that in the bag or any kind of like gear bag, and you're good to go. It's awesome. So,
all right, there you go. All right, challenge for next week. The challenge is our monthly challenge, and that is outdoors. And Adam's going to shoot with his alien bees outdoors. That's what he's going
to
do.
Oh gosh, I hope not. I'm hoping to take something. Use the word earlier in the show, epic. I'm hoping to take something epic at the ball field tonight that just will really blow your hair back.
Ooh.
Yeah. No.
I could use that.
Yeah.
Like specifically my hair, everybody's hair.
No, just yours.
Your dad's eyebrow hair. Will that get blown back?
Yeah, it's a little wind blown there. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, good. So your dad's already seen the pictures, what you're telling me.
Yeah, he liked it.
Good. All right. No, I mean, forget it.
I know what you meant.
The epic one.
I know. He liked it.
Yeah. All right.
Parents all things that children do, don't they?
Yeah. Sure. All right. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check it out. I've actually checked a few of them out already, and there's some really, really good ones out there already. So get those in by...
Wait a second. There's good Instagram outside photos?
Yeah, so people have already posted.
So what you're saying is that was an excellent challenge topic.
No, you've been accused of phoning it in. I'm not even joking.
Okay, yeah.
There is a thread. I was looking today before the show. I was looking. I try to look at the Instagram for and like the photos that are tagged.
Right.
And one of them had a chat going on in the comment section of a couple of listeners.
Right.
They threw me under the bus as well, which I had to step up and say, no, it was Adam picked outdoors, not me.
I feel like Facebook started this discussion.
Maybe it was Facebook. I don't know. It could be. Yeah. And somewhere in the back, Zuckerberg's just laughing and hammering checks. So, ha ha ha, you fight.
Right.
1, 2, 3, go, photographers.
Yeah.
So, the accusation was the guys really phoned this one in.
No, that quite the contrary.
Yeah, I said, that's what I said. I said, quite the contrary. It was Adam.
Who really phoned it in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, so hashtag that. We'll check it out. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.